I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And Della Torre.
2-5 will be with us momentarily. He's running a little bit behind schedule, but same corner, same time. Thanks for everybody for pulling up, like, subscribe, etc. Fellas, how's everything? Weekends.
It was good, man. We missed you last week. Since last week, let's see. I celebrated a birthday, which was cool.
Happy birthday, man. Again.
Thank you,
man.
Thank you.
How did the Jimmy V fund go?
$2,599. So we appreciate everybody. A lot of listeners, a lot of people that support Gator Nation and this podcast helped us raise nearly $2,600 for the V Foundation, which is awesome. We're over 31 or over $32,000 over the last decade and a change. Raised money for cancer research around my birthday. So I appreciate all of you. And then other than that, I'm being domesticated. Actively in front of our eyes. We're
elaborate
cooking on the big green egg.
Okay.
Making sourdough bread.
Okay. Okay.
Looking at new houses to purchase.
Okay.
So just being domesticated.
I foresee some raw dogging on the horizon, Nick. You're muted, Nick.
Early on in the show. Pretty early on in the show.
Hey, man.
Hot dog contest talk. I'm going to miss the view.
It's not bad, man. That's beautiful, though, man.
I sent Dan. I don't know. Clearly, our phones listen to us. And Dan had mentioned sourdough several times. The algorithm threw this girl crashing out about sourdough, MFing dough. Sent it to Dan. Dan goes, couldn't be me.
Could not be us. Did not have that problem. Sent
Dan
Nick
is
the
like,
perfect
have load. Never seen less relatable content in my life because the sourdough be rising. It be sourdough. He made sourdough Pop-Tarts. Like he is a.
It did. Yep. I mean,
Marvin
shout
Stewart
out to Sarah,
over here.
Right? This isn't just, you know, I'm not Julia Child, but if Julia Child had a sous chef that was world renowned, it would be me.
Yeah.
You know? That was world renowned. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, I like it, man. That's good, man. Just, you know, the whole dating, you know, going out, you know, fun thing. I was just talking to my wife, like, we got to get out and do some stuff, man. I've just been work. I got a couple things on my Miami Fort Lauderdale list that I got to get into. Not any sourdough. That's not vegan, so I can't really partake in, you know, the sourdough. Nick, how was your weekend, man?
Are you vegan?
It's not.
Yeah, vegan.
I'm plant based. I would say, yeah, I'm plant. I would say plant based. I don't like to get into like vegan, but into labels. But I don't eat any dairy, so a lot of bread.
There's no dairy in there.
There's no dairy in sourdough.
No,
just gluten, baby.
Yeah, I think it's just yeast and flour.
Okay, I'm good with sourdough.
Yeah,
sourdough.
We'll make you a loaf when we come see you in a couple weeks.
Let's do it.
Look at this guy. This guy used to be tableside at Steve Aoki and Tiesto. Oh, my goodness. Now all he has time for is Monday through Thursday golf, sourdough on Friday, Home Depot.
Wholesome.
I don't have time. I don't
wholesome,
know.
Man.
It's a heck of a life, Nick. I've never felt better, to be honest.
Wholesome, baby.
Mentally, yeah. Emotionally, physically. You did yoga today? Yeah, yoga at 4:15 today.
Green market season, too.
Yeah. I'll tell you what season it's about to be. It's about to be freaking cold here is what it's about to be. I know we've got listeners up north and all of that, but dude, we're getting into the 20s here, and that just doesn't happen.
Buddy,
Nick, I know it's gonna be cold for you.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it, but today was wild. So like it was 67 when we woke up and like took the dog out, and then nailed it. Nice, Dan. And then it just got colder throughout the day. Normally, like morning cold, sun comes out hot. Like at noon, we're in the low 50s. Beautiful weather here in Gainesville, though. We've got lows, Dan. I know you'll love this. Down into 29 tomorrow.
Oh, it's my hockey
what
number.
The hell? What is going
25
on
Saturday, 20 on Sunday. Buddy, we are.
Yeah. So the Lightning are playing the Boston Bruins in an outdoor hockey game here in Tampa. And everybody was like, oh, it's going to be too hot to play and all this other stuff. I when the puck drops, I think the real feel outside is going to be like 27 or 28 degrees on Sunday. Right now, I mean,
are you going to be getting this bread at?
I will be there. Yep, I'll be there.
Wow. Yep. No, thank you.
Yeah, we have Gasparilla Saturday.
Oh, it's the worst weekend to be in Tampa.
Yeah, it's the best weekend to be in Tampa, unless you aren't participating in Gasparilla. Enough about Dan's life. Corey, you just came back from Houston. Sounded pre-show like you had a great trip out there.
Yeah, solid vibes per usual. I love Houston, the food scene. I didn't know it was about to get cold like this, you know, tomorrow. 57 for us in South Florida, us, you know, tropical babies down here. Yeah, bro, I'm pulling out bubble jackets. I gotta go buy me. So I was burning firewood last night. Apparently, I just wasted it. Right. So my wife was like, "Why are you just burning wood for no reason?" I was just like, "I just felt like a fire. I don't know." And then now I need more wood. So I'm gonna go pick up some wood, man. Make me some marshmallows. Who knows, man? Give me some. Is eggnog still popping? Might grab me some eggnog. Enjoy that cold weather.
I don't know.
No, you can get plant-based eggnog, man.
Yeah,
really?
I don't think they sell it in stores. I think once 12/26 hits, it's off the shelf.
You're in South Florida, though. You can do some.
It's like Mariah Carey. Yeah. It just goes away for a year.
Oh yeah, you definitely got to spike the eggnog. But yeah, Silk make that Silk almond milk brand. They make a eggnog as well, like a bootleg eggnog. But anywho, we got to get into some football, man. We got to talk some Gator sports eventually, man.
Oh man.
Shots. All
right. Real quick, my weekend.
Yeah.
Solo dad. Doesn't feel like a weekend. Mentioned this to Dan. Have kids. Weekends don't feel like the weekends, especially when your wife is working. Shout out to my mom. Shout out to Frankie's Nana coming in clutch with the assist. I don't even know if it's an assist. I might have been the assister on watching Frankie this weekend.
So you made it sound like you was on full dad mode, but you wasn't.
Listen, 4 hours seems like, buddy, you see what the living room looked like before grandma came to pick her up?
Yeah.
We were fighting for our life.
I remember what your living room used to look like before you had a kid, so I can only imagine.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of sharp plastic toys now, which weren't there before.
Oh, man. Corey, get a quick ad read in. I'll read one, then we'll get into the news of the day.
One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured from the Panhandle to the Keys, my man Greg got you. The best of the best when it pertains to car insurance, life insurance, motorcycle, boats, any financial services at that. Give him a call at 954-589-2204 or visit him at bruninsurance.com. I promise you he can save you some money. Plenty of testimonies on this account. On this podcast, and also a lot of our followers. So tap in with my guy Greg at bruninsurance.com, 954-589-2204.
Greg, what it do, baby?
Just interesting. I called Greg about something, looking to change insurance again, and there was an accident. I think I told you guys I got in an accident. I was not at fault, but it was listed as at fault by an administrative error. So even doing that, I've fixed that. It's no longer an issue that I have to worry about. But always good to get checked out just to see if something like that might pop up. Let's give it up to our friends over at Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group as well. If you are looking for help in the areas of property insurance claims, pipe damage, water damage, wind damage, hail damage, hurricane, sinkhole damage, whatever it might be, give our friends over the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group a call. They used to work on the insurance side. Now they work for you fighting against a pesky insurance agent. So give them a call at 855-652-1377 or Dykus Burke Law. That's DICUSBURKE Law.com for any questions that you may have. Again, the Dykus Burke and Lois Law Group, 855-652-1377. All right, guys, let's run through just some kind of announcements here, just in case you guys didn't see. The Gators will kick off their spring practice this in March, just in a couple of months here. Nick, can you pull up when, because I think you tweeted it out, but the practice schedule will open early March, sunsetting with the spring game, which is going to be April 11th, the Saturday at 12 p.m. in the Swamp. So definitely want to mark your calendar for that. That will obviously be the first Orange and Blue game under the new regime. It's back at hopefully at a reasonable time. And it's on Saturday again. I know in the past they've had them on Thursdays and Fridays. I think last year was back on a Saturday, but again, a Saturday, April 11th, mark your calendar if you have not already.
There we go. Here are your spring dates. Now, I don't know. I asked for clarification. I don't know that any of this will be open to the public. I don't think so. I do know that everything they're doing now is in the morning. So, like, I would imagine, like, practice March 3rd on Tuesdays at, like, 9 a.m. Like, they're doing all of their lifting and stuff now at 5 a.m.
Everybody?
That's just like, I think it's just a summer all thing, just a morning deal. Like the guys are done with like football stuff by the afternoon. Whereas the last staff, it was kind of like you come in meetings or workout meetings, you go to the lunch class, come back, then get like ready for practice. The day was kind of split. I think all of their stuff is in the morning. So I don't know. I don't have official times for this, but judging by the way they're doing lifts right now, everything will be in the morning.
Okay. So that's going to be March 3rd, March 5th, March 7th, 10th, 12th.
We don't have spring break scrimmage. We don't have scrimmage dates yet for this either.
Okay. Gotcha. Then spring break, then back to 24th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 31st, 2nd, 4th, 7th, 9th. And then, again, April 11th at noon will be the Orange and Blue game presented by Florida Victoria. So go definitely check that out. Obviously, as we get a little bit closer, we're going to dive a little bit more into some position battles and everything else. A lot of new names on the roster. We're going to talk about a couple of new names now or here in a few minutes. But again, we will talk a little bit more about that probably towards the middle of end of February. And then obviously going into March and April, and then we'll start to get some more players and everything else.
Tez Henry. Yes. Noon on Saturday, for the spring game. I think they're going to have more details on that. In the past, it's been free. There wasn't not to my knowledge, I don't think anything released about like if it'll be free or if it'll be on TV streaming, anything like that. So to be determined for all that stuff. But yes, noon, a nooner.
I'm going to pull up the Florida Gators website, see what else is happening that weekend in terms of
usually maybe baseball being game.
Yeah. Some people were very angry. Baseball and softball are both out of town that weekend.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, double down.
Yeah. There's been some awesome crowds at baseball that weekend, you know, because you get people come in, especially if it's a noon kickoff. You come in, you stay Friday night, you stay Saturday night, and you get great crowds Friday, Saturday. But we will have baseball down in Miami this year.
Yay. I always miss that, though. I need a heads up.
We should do a baseball game again this year.
We haven't done one. We didn't do one last. We did one year before last, but we didn't do one last year.
That's when Dan.
No, I think it's been.
I think because it was not.
It's been three.
It would have been four.
Yeah, it's been three years. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Time flies when you're having fun. We'll have to find a time that we can get up to Condren to watch the Gators play baseball again. That was just a lot of fun.
Lock in one. We probably do a pop up or something like that. Make it worth our while we're there. But I would like to do that. Let's figure out which baseball game.
Perfect. If you're watching, please hit the like button, subscribe button, hop in the chat. Any questions that you might have, we are here to try to answer any and all questions that you guys may have. In other scheduling moves, the Gators football schedule has been announced already, but the Gators game against FSU is moved back to Black Friday. I think they did this 2 years ago when they played FSU. So that game will be on Friday, November 27th. It's an ACC choice, not a Scott Strickland choice, not a Florida choice. That is 100% an ACC choice. So that game will be the day after Thanksgiving.
It's a shame what happened to the program, which was Florida State. It's a shame, man. It really
is. A once mighty program.
Yeah, man. Bobby's rolling around in his grave. For sure. Like, what is this, man? Let me out of here.
Will Mike Norvell be the coach on November 27th?
Yeah, unless they hit the lotto. They hit the Powerball, maybe they can get rid of him, but I doubt it, man.
President Halford spending $400,000 on Powerball tickets.
That's crazy because Mike don't want the job. He wants to buy out, and they don't want Mike, but they just both just stuck there, bro.
Here's one,
like
too.
Being with a girl you don't really want to be with no more, but y'all split the rent.
We can talk a little bit about the national championship. I know it seems like a while ago, but like Miami, despite having been in the ACC for more than a decade and never playing for a championship or winning
They've been in the SEC for 22 years, Nick.
Never so won one. More than anyway, a decade. Anyway, several decades. Made it to the championship game. They are your national runner-up. And the conference has them opening up against FAMU on a Thursday night. No telling if that's on the CW or Nickelodeon.
Excellent. Love to see
But no that's how your conference handles you getting to the national championship game. They let you open up on Thursday night.
And I think they kick off their ACC schedule against Stanford. They
got a cheat code, though, man. Like, they stack an SEC talent, and they playing Rudy Poole programs, bro. Like, it's not even fair. Like, we got to go through a gauntlet. They're scheduling FAMU for openers, man.
Hilarious.
And they got like four more FAMUs on their schedule.
Another hilarious development. Florida State and Clemson fought so hard to have like performance rewarded. So Miami got to collect every single penny of the playoff run because they were the only ACC team in the playoff and the ACC didn't split it. So the SEC, Florida, despite its 4-8 season last year, gets money from Georgia for making the playoff, from Texas A&M. Their purse goes all into a pot. And
well, I understand how.
To the SEC.
I understand how they can afford Minshew now. They ain't got to give no money to the ACC. This is crazy. Yeah.
Hey, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
How what plays out?
Crazy Minshew. to have signed away your exclusive rights. That's wild.
Insane.
What does that mean?
So, like, we don't have players sign exclusive rights. So, if you're with Florida Victorious and Axe Body Spray comes to you, it's like Silk. If you're a Florida Victorious athlete and Axe Body Spray comes to you, under Darian's thing, you would have to get that signed off through Duke because Duke has your exclusive rights to your name, image, and likeness. Means They, through the course of 2 years. No, no. He signed that with Duke with for rev share. His rev share agreement, per reports, was for his the exclusive rights to his name, image, and likeness for the 2 years of the contract.
So Duke negotiates his brand deals, is what you're saying?
Duke would have to. Yep. Duke would have to sign off on even a third party coming and saying, hey, we have this idea. We want to shoot this commercial with you. We want you to represent our brand. If you've signed exclusive rights, that means the person who holds the exclusive rights has to sign off on that. That's
I think they just participate in it. I don't think they own. I think whatever he decides on, they got rights to participate in it, like percentage wise. I don't think they have like control over who he can do things with. So if he strikes a deal like a Gatorade, since they got this, because some agencies have like exclusive rights to a kid, and if so, other agency can't work with them, right? If they do work with them, they still get paid, etc. So I think it's if he does strike a deal, they get their set percentage regardless.
Right. That's to me, like if I'm advising my son, or if I have a client, we're not signing exclusive rights. I don't care if that lowers the number with you.
But yeah, I was going to say, it's easy to say in hindsight now that somebody's trying to pay you a lot more. Yeah. You know, but at the time, Mensa was coming from Tulane. He gets a two-year, $8 million deal, and you're like, oh, that's a hell of a life-changing. Yeah. That's a life-changing moment for me. And
I give you 10-15% of the Gatorade deal if I get one. If you're giving me $6, $8 million, yeah, of course.
And, I mean, that's the hard part, right, is you sign yourself into guaranteed money, and sometimes that works out, and sometimes you have to deal with the choices that you made, right? And yesterday's price isn't today's price, and sometimes that means that you're stuck in a situation. And now we're going to see how I think it all litigates out. I know that there's two very polar opposite sides of this take and what is ultimately going to happen, right? And I think at some point, the courts are going to need to decide one way or another, right? Is this the precedent, or is this just is this the rule of law that we're following here, or are we just living in a world of guidelines that can be bent? And we haven't allowed really the courts to decide, because a lot of these things end up getting settled before the courts actually do decide. So that's going to be a big ruling.
You think you go all the way to weeks. You don't think they settle beforehand?
I think it's probably in the best interest of both parties to probably settle, but I don't want there to be, because at some point you need to create some sort of precedent of law here. And I don't know. I think they're going.
Yeah. So it's like from Duke's standpoint, you're in breach of contract, and sure, go to Miami, but we hold your NIL. So like Miami, you can't pay him for his name, image, and likeness because he's already under contract. You can't use his name, image, and likeness to promote your brand. Don't put his face on the season ticket poster. I think the different one in this is that you signed a legal document, entered into a legal contract, and you're breaking it. And what's the course of action for, hey, he's breaking a contract?
Now, if it's set up that way, I think it's a terrible deal. Like, even if it's $6 to $8 million, if it's set up where they control where his all the rights, like just say there's no fine print. If they control all the rights to his NIL, he signed it away for $6 to $8 million as a quarterback. That's an absolutely terrible deal. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't think it's like framed that way. It just can't. I think it's like they're in participation with everything he do marketing wise outside of that rev share. I think they participate.
Yeah, I think.
Part of that, but I don't think they can tell him you can't do a deal with a certain company. If it's like that, then it's a terrible deal for a quarterback at a place like Duke. That would be a terrible idea to sign your way or your sign away your rights for that type of money.
Yeah, I think it's just important that there's so many people, like we're talking about life-changing money for 16, 17, 18 year olds. Like Darian was a little bit older when this happened, but you just need to have people around you that read that. Cause I mean, I'm going off of like, I think Pete Nakos reported that it was exclusive rights with Duke. And I think Ross Dellinger also reported that, and they're getting like court filings as stuff is happening. But to me, to sign away my exclusive rights to my name, image, and likeness is crazy.
It's a marketing deal. So what does that have to do with like rev share? That's just two totally different sides of like two totally different contract agreements, in my opinion, with the universe or whoever it may be. You got a rev share agreement, and then your name, image, and likeness is based off of pure marketing deals, giving away all your marketing rights as a quarterback, especially who he is. Like, it's no shadow of a doubt that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country next year. Mm-hmm. So to sign that away for $6 to $8 million, like, that sounds like crumbs. Let me be honest. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm going with, like, who is around you advising you to sign that? Like, it was a big fat number, and it was a, like, shockwaves. I remember when it happened, like, hey, Duke's signing a kid from Tulane for $8 million. We're like, wait, what? That has to be
because
fake.
He was probably making what, half, quarter of a million?
He was not, Tulane's highest paid quarterback.
No, yeah, he was.
No, but at Duke signed him to a good contract when he.
Yeah,
no, that's what I mean. But he went from probably not making very much to all of a sudden, hey, here's $8 million. In hindsight, terrible choice. At the time, if somebody says, hey, here's $8 million,
this was just in December,
really got to bet on yourself to say,
No. He signed the deal to leave when he left Tulane to go to Duke. So before last season.
Right.
But didn't he just sign a new deal in like December?
No, the deal he signed was a two-year deal. That's where the issue is. He signed a 2-year deal. He completed the first year of a 2-year deal, and then he wants to transfer. That's where the issue is. Hey, you're still.
I thought he signed a new deal in December for some reason.
I think the reports, unless I'm wrong, someone in chat knows more or can look it up. But he signed a 2-year deal, is my understanding.
Okay.
And he's trying to get out of it 1 year into the 2-year deal.
And there might have been a re-up. You have to re-sign, re-up type of deal after 2 years. Like, kind of like an option, and he may have exercised that option. I'm getting some research cooking in the background right now.
Now, do you think?
Chat.
I haven't been really like following it too.
Yeah, no, I haven't either. Personally. And I think it's just such a gray area, right? Because I see all sides, right? I see the player side. I see Darian Mensah's side for sure. I see the school side 100%. I see the gray area that exists in between, and I don't see anybody trying to solve that gray area in between. So at some point, that's where I ultimately want to land, is where you decide what is going to move forward, right? What you can and can't do, right? Like, I don't
think gray area you see on Minshew's side. Like, what do you see? What do you think Minshew is correct in how he's handling it?
I don't know that he's correct in how he's handling it, but I think you look at it and you're like, you could get the advice of like, hey, you're going to get a favorable ruling because it's somebody getting in the way of you being able to go and further your career, where, as a society, we're generally like, no, you can't tell someone that they can't go and try to make a decision that's better for them and for their career. But also, like, depending on what the language of the contract is, like, yeah, you can do that when the contract you're out is up, or if you can pay the contract and get out of that contract.
Yeah, it's real in the corporate world, right? When you sign contracts, you're stuck with those. The difference, of course, is capitalizing on name, image, and likeness, and not on all of the other benefits that come with signing a contract outside of NIL, which don't exist in college football today. That's where it gets a little weird to me, in terms of, until the courts decide that you can or can't do this, schools are just going to continue to execute on behalf of themselves and protecting themselves, and student athletes are going to continue to advocate for themselves and their rights. And until they decide which side is legally the right side, and it's going to be a case by case basis, there's just going to be this huge gray area that I think a lot of people are living in. Corey, I did look it up. So Mensah did not re-sign. He just announced that he was returning to Duke in 2026 after exploring the NFL draft.
So he signed a 2-year deal. So in a normal business world, Minshew is this is just college football and it's wild, wild west. And I'm all for it. The shenanigans, I think, Duke is going to bow out. That's just what it is. The kid, there's nothing they can really do. They're just going to figure out some settlement, some buyout. And that's my opinion, what I think is going to happen.
That they're going to buy Duke out. Somebody's going to buy Duke
correct.
Out.
Yeah, there's going to be some buyout happening. And I think he ends up at Miami at the end of the day. But in a normal business world, it just, if you sign a 2-year deal, you just got a 2-year deal, bro. Like, there's no gray area in a regular business world, but we're just not dealing with just normal regular business. It's a lot of gray areas in the laws and in the guardrails. That's why all the gray areas is that is, are these employees, can you hold them to certain type of contracts? It's just a lot of gray areas in that facet. But I think Mitch saw sign the deal, and then he held Duke hostage a little bit if he was to exit now. Like, he put them in a position where they can't go find another quarterback. Mm-hmm. The portal's closed. All the good candidates are gone. Yep. He let all this play out. A bigger offer came on the table, and he entered the portal in a selfish way. This isn't business. I hope it all works out for the kid.
And this came out.
Good business.
This started leaking out about him to Miami 2 days before the portal closed. Like, January 14th is when he first was like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about going in the portal. I remember hearing that and being like, he can't. What do you mean? He's got a contract. And the portal closes in like 36 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that the best wide receiver from Duke, too, also put his name in the transfer portal as a result. And I know that he's been connected down to Miami, too. And, you know, whether it's tampering or not, all schools are doing it. You can tamper through an agent.
No accusations here. No accusations here. But it was interesting. I follow a lot of Miami beat writers from the area. A lot of them cover the two-time national champion, or excuse me, two-time Stanley Cup winning Florida Panthers, reigning defending champions.
Out of the playoff race,
reigning defending champions. Also, they cover the Marlins, Dolphins. There were a lot of quote tweets with like eyes at the very first mention of Darian Mensa maybe going to the portal. It seemed as if the entire Miami beat was awaiting the news.
Yeah, Barry Jackson's been standing for it.
Like, yeah, it was no secret that they were trying to go after him and a couple other quarterbacks. Like, it was no secret that they was doing tampering, finding. They've done it the last 2 years. Like, this is the third year doing exactly that. So, everybody's been kind of.
They tried to get Ty Simpson. He decided to go to the NFL instead, and they worked their way through, and they ultimately landed on him, which is not a bad person to land on. Yeah. You probably should have just but, you know, again, somebody's paying the legal fees. So at the end of the day, the attorneys are getting rich here, right? And there's a particular
billable hours. I don't always like
getting
wins.
Rich, but they're getting rich off of this. And at some point, I agree with you, Corey. This is going to probably get settled somewhere, and there's going to be no ruling on it. But one of these days – there's got to be a ruling on something, because you can't just live in a world of guardrail or without guardrails.
Yeah, we had something similar. I think his name was Desmond Williams. You know, went
Damon Williams from Washington.
Said he was going to go on the portal. Lawyers got involved, and then quickly Washington was like, "Yo, we're not letting him out. He just signed a contract. We're not letting
him attorney.
Out.
Same attorney representing the player."
Yeah, interesting.
He wasn't ready to take it to the finish line like this kid is. I think if he was willing to take it to the finish line, I think Washington would eventually bow out. I think.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to lose in the court of public opinion, whether you're in the right or the wrong. Like,
I don't know.
Because I think public is kind of split on it. It's public versus Miami. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah,
I think most of the public is saying like,
especially because it's Miami. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Well, like, it's fun to hate Miami.
Well, think about it. Like, even when we talked about like all this portal stuff, like, Dan, you're like, "Hey, I'm exhausted. Like, let me know when the roster is there. Like, I don't care who's leaving, who's coming to Gainesville. Like, just let me know when the roster is final." I think we're getting, because of how much movement there is, I think we're getting some fatigue in the fan base. So there might be some people who are just like, on top of being like, "Yo, just bump Miami."
I guess it also depends. Being like,
"Hey, at some point, I think you're going to see the momentum swing. People are being like, hey, we need a school to win a case. Just win one so that we can start getting some of those guardrails you're talking about."
So let me ask you this. This is probably a bigger discussion. I'm fatigued because we have to cover every single player that's visiting and every player that departs. And it's going to be 56 new people every year. And it's just like, I'll just pick who I want to. I'm going to cheer for the orange and blue, and then like I'll have my guys in the fall and then like hope that they're there next year. But like, do you think that there's actual fatigue, or like college football ratings are still at an all-time high? They continue to set records. The Indiana-Miami game was one of the most watched national championship games ever, if not the most. There's 30-something million people watching. Like, is there real fatigue, or is it like, hey, it's just annoying because it's happening to my school a lot, and so I'm fatigued. And if you're like Miami or LSU or Ole Miss, where they're getting a lot of these transfer portal guys, you're probably not as fatigued as maybe Gator fans are.
Yeah, I look at it. I think interest in college football is only rising. I mean, I think gambling helps. Sure. Also, the gambling epidemic we have. But I think from fans, yeah, I think there's an epidemic. I think from even like a creator's standpoint that works for a collective, it's like, hey, I really want to work on your brand. How long do you plan on being here? Do I have 2 years to help you work and build a brand and build a voice? Or do I have 5 months? Like, are you just here for a season and then you're going to go on? Like, you're losing the, from a fan perspective, you're losing the, oh, signing day is super cool because I get to see a freshman commit to my school and then I get to follow them for 4 years. You're getting less enthusiasm for high school signing days because you're not, you're learning to not be attached to those guys.
A junior day, I could care less about any of that anymore. Yeah. And I used to be a fanatic of that stuff, bro. Like,
so that's kind of what I mean, the fatigue. Started,
one of the first times I met Corey was at a signing day thing in St. Pete. But yeah.
Those days are long gone, man. From a fatigue standpoint, like, there's just no fixing it at this point. Like, this is what college football is going to be. Like, I don't foresee them creating, even when they do create guardrails, it's going to be more contract based, you know, more situations like the DeMond Williams and the Minshaw stuff. But I don't think they're going to limit these kids with being able to jump in the portal, et cetera. So the roster is just going to change. And even what you were saying, like from a branding standpoint, I mean, that's probably like, ideal for the kid to have his independent branding by whatever independent source, but the school or it being Gator based, it's just hard because you can't buy any of that gear. Like, there's no real support you could do as a fan in confidence. Like, your favorite player, you bring him in, I don't care if it's through the portal, this may be a 1 year portal thing and you just spent $60-$70 on a jersey and then it's just gone. Like, there's nothing you could do with that jersey. It's just, you know, now you got to cut lawn in and wash the car with it or something. So it's just from a branding standpoint, when it pertains to that, like, that's just gone. Like, these kids gonna have to do like independent brands to be real. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. It's just not gonna be a thing. Like, you might want to buy their favorite, whatever drink they're drinking. Go buy Gatorade.
There's gonna be a lot of the Gonza Hayward jerseys in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium next year.
Yeah. I mean, they could change the name on the back, right?
Like, just a little tape. There's gonna be a lot of Lagans.
It's like the people that do like the Browns jerseys, like the quarterback jerseys, and then just do the duct tape and write the name on
that. Yeah. That's the game, man.
I
think too, like, even from Minshaw's standpoint, if I'm his agent, right, and I'm in his corner, like, some, I know his agents are getting a bad rep right now, but if I'm his agents in his corner, outside of the NIL, maybe I got a relationship that's going to take him to the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the situation. Did Duke get better in the portal, right? Even though he signed to 2 years, the product got worse. That roster got worse than it was last year. So I'm watching a guy that got pro potential. I might take this to the finish line and see if we can get out of this deal, because how it's working out down in Miami for quarterback is working out okay. And for the betterment of his future, forget the NIL contract. Like, that's hogwash. For the better overall situation for my quarterback is to buck this agreement, get down to Miami, know where he's on a better roster, better players, better offense, and have a better shot at going high in the draft. Mm-hmm. And make more money. It just makes more sense.
Yeah. No,
I don't know how it'll play, but like, what if Duke just like says, like, whatever, we're going to stand in the paint. We're not going to make money off of his NIL because we're not going to promote him while he's there, but you're not going to either. So, Darian, you can go play at Miami for the love of the game.
And I think they think they'll lose in court, so they're gonna settle.
Yeah, I don't think Duke will lose in court. I don't think. Now, listen, it's not my money. I don't have to worry about it. I'm just sitting from the from the stands. I think it from like our perspective, from like NIL collectives, from like other schools watching from the outside. I think it'll be really important to see how this plays out. But like, what a show it would be if Duke just goes like, yeah, listen, you can leave, but like, you're still under contract, so Miami can't pay you for your name, image, and likeness.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that they're going to let him leave without his rights. Right. And that's when you're going to get into, you're going to get,
I mean, any work contract you could get out of, right? Like there's got to be an exit clause out of any contract. So they
that's while true, that doesn't mean that there's no potential penalties. There's often non-competes and there's other issues that are in employment contracts. Unfortunately for Duke in this case, it's not an employment contract. So that's where it's in this like big gray area individual media rights. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a hard thing to adjudicate by the way that we know the law now.
Right.
So that's why I want something.
And then Dabo just went scorched earth.
Yeah.
On the linebacker for Cal. I think
Clemson's more likely to go to court against.
Bro, Dabo went scorched earth. Dabo came with like printouts of text messages and call logs.
This kid is already
in Oxford going through workouts in Oxford, and Clemson still has his roster page up. And if you click on the link in his roster page, it just takes you to Dabo's press conference where he laid out the entire timeline.
Yeah.
Schools cannot block transfers. They tried last year. Wisconsin tried last year, and the kid just unenrolled and enrolled somewhere else. And everybody folded, and the kid ended up at Miami. I think the NCAA don't have a leg to stand on. Like, everything's going to have to be in some court proceeding, et cetera. But, shout out to Dabo for snitching. If I'm not a criminal, it's not snitching. It ain't. I'm just a law-abiding citizen that's playing by the rules, and you guys are backdooring me. So I got to tell on everybody and oppressor.
that was
crazy. I like it.
One of the most surprising press conferences I've ever seen. And it doesn't, I'm not surprised it was Dabo, but it was incredible. I mean,
Dabo got somebody out of the portal than it turned bad and Dabo turned state witness.
The boy said the name, image, and Lord, in the name, image of the Lord Jesus Christ is what NIL stands for. He learned in the hard way, Dan.
Yeah, I'm telling you what.
You better get them green bags, baby.
Satan's among us. There's Satan among us. You know?
Yes.
You know, and I think he, ipso facto, just called, Pete Golden Satan. So we'll see, you know? The Apple is a linebacker, right? A linebacker from Ole Miss. I went to Clemson. Where did he transfer from? Where did he come from? I don't even know. So, that's going to be interesting. I think that one is much more likely going to court. If it does.
Dabo with the shenanigans. He'll take it to trial.
they got nothing to lose. They got nothing to lose. But they already lost the player. The kid's already at Ole Miss. So, he's from Cal. Thank you, Joe. From Cal to Clemson to Ole Miss. That's a culture shock, going to Berkeley to Clemson to Oxford. Be different.
Be different, for sure. 100%.
Be different. Any final thoughts on, in the Alabama, the situation, declaring, playing the G League for 3 years and then coming back and enrolling, it's just, to me, it's bonkers. I don't see it.
The linebacker at Miami is like 35, man. Like, he got an eighth year. Like, what are we doing?
My brother in Christ, your eighth year.
He's
in South Florida. If you can just hook my guy up with a job,
same class as Kyrie,
at some point we just got to move on. Eighth year in college is crazy. It's crazy. Nice, I look forward to college being college age athletes again.
Crazy.
Eighth year is crazy. The other one, we had actually had some of the basketball guys in the office late last week. And they were talking about the kid from Alabama, and it's crazy. You play 2 years, you enter the draft, which by NCAA rule means you forego. We were in the same recruiting class. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're in the NCAA and you declare for the draft, you are foregoing the rest of your eligibility. Then you went and you played in the G League for 2 years.
Yeah, they're saying that you can't forego eligibility. You can what's stopping you from coming back?
I might go back, baby.
Bro, Brad Beal, Brad's got three years left. Brad, come back. We can use you.
I got two years, bro.
Need some guards on the team.
Come back and give me some reps.
Van Wilder.
I like Miles Graham, but I don't want to see Miles Graham
in 5 years.
No, I don't want to see him. Hey, bro, like, let's move on. Let's be real.
Miles Graham, starting linebacker for the Florida Gators. 2031
I like you a lot, but it's been real, my boy. I know you could probably do some crazy things at linebacker at 32, but like, let's get the young boys a try, man. Let's move on here, man.
I'll tell you what. I know we all have different thoughts and everything else, but I'll tell you what, man. If I had the opportunity to get paid, play football, and get free education, I'd just be stacking degrees at that point.
No, I get it. I would do it too. But as a fan, I'm
get
tired of you, bro. Like, go pro.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Being no 18 go pro in something. Man.
Go pro in something. It might not
the
be
the enterprise rental car program management certification track is great. There's been a lot of success there.
Beautiful. Go coach.
Go write the great American novel. Before we get to some other announcements or some other news in Gator football, Nick, there was a question from our guy Ace Wade. He always supports. This is a baseball question. Jaden Bastion update.
Yeah. Jaden Bastion, big transfer. In my mind, was going to be the starting center fielder, leadoff guy, suffered a compound fracture in fall. That is when the bone breaks skin. The break is so bad that it breaks the skin. Had to have immediate surgery. I get the question a lot because he is out at practice walking, and Gators BB keeps tweeting pictures of him. There is no anticipation that he plays this season. He is walking, yes, but if you are out there and you see him walking, does not look ready. He's not like going through stuff. I would anticipate him to redshirt this year. He is young, super athletic, bones can heal. But right now there's no expectation or anticipation that Jaden Bastion plays this year. Okay. Just a freak accident. Don't fire the strength coach. Different strength coach than football for baseball.
Has anybody bid on a pitching lesson from David Kopp yet?
I don't know. I didn't. That was, shout out to Bree Wade. She handled all that.
Okay.
That was a fun night.
All right. Weston, Jamarcus Weston is on the Seahawks practice roster, but I think this is the first time in 23 years the Gators do not have somebody on the active roster of a Super Bowl winning team. So
Weston ain't active.
He got hurt. No,
I think he's a practice squad guy. Yeah. I think he got hurt.
Cade Kurland, today was their off day. He has like an oblique strain issue. I don't think it's something they anticipate. It's January 26th. Season's right around the corner, a couple weeks, February 14th. I think he should be good. Just an oblique strain, oblique injury. But in a game where you're turning to swing a bat, quite a nuisance to have an oblique strain.
I can imagine. I had a minor rib injury and playing golf was the dickens. So I can only imagine what a real strain is.
I know. What a martyr.
You got jabbed in the ribs? Like, how you hurt your ribs?
No, I had a pinched nerve and it like radiated.
It's soft, man.
I'm built different, Corey. Some people are built for strength. I'm built for weakness.
He's built for green eggs and sourdough now.
Yeah, I'm telling you what. Keep eating that sourdough. I'm going to get a little big, become a little deadly.
Domesticated Dan.
Some years of bendering.
We have a name for the show.
Domesticated Dan?
Domesticated Dan.
I like bootleg eggnog, but all right.
Bootleg eggnog.
We'll figure it out. All right.
Fish, man. Don't knock it till you try it.
I'm here for it. Let's see. One time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. You hear us talk about them all the time. Wonderful Cups. This is the national champions for the golf team that I got this one. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot, cold drinks cold. Corey's got the Gator Boys and the old school F. Nick's got the custom stadium and Gale one. Go check them out. Great product. Support somebody in Tennessee that is struggling living in Knoxville just because of Tennessee grass. And I think it's bitterly cold and they've got a lot of snow and a lot of issues up there. So go support a friend in Tennessee. GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code Stadium 15 to get 15% off of your order. Or if you really want to support them, don't use the promo code and pay full price. Just let them know we sent you there. But again, that's GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15. All right. I know, Corey, you don't care as much. I don't care as much, but we'll talk a little bit about just some people that came, some juniors and sophomores that visited UF this weekend. The Gators hosted a couple five-star offensive linemen, Kennedy Brown and Maxwell Hiller, four-star Julius Jones, four-star wide receiver Anthony Jennings, four-star
STA, Julius Jones. Nick, you get the STA hype up? Like, were you sleeping, bro? Sleeping at the wheel, man.
Yeah, I was.
No, it's STA hype up. You got to hype it up, man. That's good pedigree, too. Anywho.
Yes, there is who's the offensive lineman from STA, too?
Dean.
No.
You got Dean and you got the tackle. The tackle's in. They got a few guys. This is STA, so you know they loaded.
They're always loaded. Yeah, there's a – he's like the number – he's like a top five tackle in the country. That is who I think will be targeted heavily. Shout out to Phil. Shout out to Phil. The last coaching staff, I think, would try to get five stars by adding two to three guys. Phil's just out here throwing offers, getting into living rooms, inviting them to his living room.
Talking about Jaden Dean?
Well, I mean, we were in on some five stars with the last crew. I think we came down to the final. We just couldn't finish, you know. But we were in it for some five-star guys. They couldn't close on the five-star guys. I think Phil would you know, be a little bit – I think the importance of how much you – it's a lot to deal with, right? So I think with how Phil does things in the trenches, I expect them to close on guys that he really wants. But we were in it for some big dogs, like – Kearney was a guy that came down to us like Colorado and some random schools, but we were right there in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. And he turned out to be a phenomenal prospect, but a few guys here and there that we just missed on down the stretch. And then they tried to, you know, sell us on these three stars, two stars and the Beatles in the UK. No boys went right to James Madison too, man. Like, they took their visas to James Madison.
Where's James? Went to Ole Miss, but yeah.
Where's James Madison? Yeah, Eggnog went to Virginia. Eggnog went to
Eggnog went to Ole Miss. Yeah,
Enoch. Yeah,
Enoch. Enoch went to Ole Miss.
Phil doesn't have a problem finishing. That's all I care about.
Pause.
But yeah, that sounded crazy.
So we had a problem finishing. I just said I hope he doesn't have a problem finishing.
Oh man, my
we're
bad.
Talking about that.
Pause.
Recruiting. Jeez. Nick, I'm not sure what your thoughts are. I guess with multiple babies.
Next week's sponsor is Hone Health.
Mark Matthews from STA. Is that who you're thinking
Mark
of?
Mark Matthews, yes.
Okay.
That's a name to know.
Let's go. A couple other folks. Anthony Jennings, four-star wide receiver. A wonderful champ, Mons the fourth. I'm just pumped that's the fourth. He was there, four-star. Timmy Alu, four-star offensive tackle, four-star interior offensive lineman. Reed Ramsier. There's a bunch of others. I do want to mention Cardinal Mooney, quarterback. Davin Davidson, he got officially offered by UF after this weekend. He's got offered by Notre Dame, Miami, Virginia Tech, Florida State, UNC, a number of other schools over the last couple of days as well. Don't be surprised if he is your 2027 quarterback. Not necessarily soon, but sooner rather than later. Just putting it out there. Just letting you guys know.
Very nice.
Don't be surprised.
What's the quarterback board look like? I have no idea.
I think it's there's the five-star that I'm forgetting the name of. Hold on.
For Louisiana?
This is why I don't follow high school recruiting anymore.
Well, you get to know these kids, and they just be going.
Yeah, like, Elijah Haven. Elijah Haven. He put Florida.
He's down to a top four?
Yeah, he's down to a top four. When Napier was here, he said Florida was his favorite. If you look at the crystal ball prediction index, all of those different things, it looks like he's going to probably go to Alabama. And so JMU? then No, JMU. JMU did not make the top four, surprisingly. And so I think it's Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia are his top four. After that, it really comes down to Champ Mons, the four-star, and David Davidson are the other two. So Champ Mons comes from Vero Beach High School, a good high school, 6 foot two, 224 pounds. He's a three or a four star, depending on where you look. And then David Davidson, he's state champion from Cardinal Mooney, 6 foot six and a half, 215 pounds. Tall, lanky, has all of the skill set in the world, needs a lot of coaching. But again, don't be surprised if he's not your guy at Florida next year or in 2027 recruiting class.
Yeah, I was talking with. It was funny on our list of following our rant of the eighth year linebacker, was talking with Aaron Filo at the basketball game. And he was like, yeah, I'm a redshirt sophomore, so I have 3 years to play. I was like, or five, who knows? You could have 7 years to play.
Yeah. I don't want to see that point 5 years from now. It's time to move on, bro. Like, let's recycle Mary 4 or 5. Like, you get injured. Let's get back to just a red shirt injury or just a red shirt developmental year. All this,
I would love to get back to five years. Bro. Even if it's like, hey, you've got 5 years, you can play all 5 years if you want, but you only have 5 years after you graduate high school.
I just think it's ruining the game, right? From a developmental standpoint, I think the portal in itself is ruining the game from developmental. Like, these kids are coming in, they're asked to play right away. And if you're not going to play right away, then you may just be in the portal next semester. Like, I think even the lure of bringing kids to big schools, I think you're going to start to see that trend a different direction. It's just where you can go play year one and get quicker to the bread, productivity. If you go into a smaller D1 school, you can get on the field right away. And watching kids, like two random kids, I don't want to say any names, two kids leave Miami last year. One goes to a major, big school in the Big Three. Another goes to this small school up in, say, West Virginia. One was a damn near five-star. The other one was a three-star. That three-star is, now at a five school, and the other one took a step back. That's a regular thing these days. You're almost better off going to a small school, playing right away, getting productive, getting stats, and then entering the portal. Even with the kid that we got, Mays from Palm Beach County. There's so many kids that came out of Palm Beach that were better than him that year out of that class, and they're at like random small schools, and he's at UF. You feel me? Like, because he went to Wake Forest, he didn't play a lot, but he got on the field. While those other guys were at major Alabamas and Georgia's just sitting the bench waiting their turn and got no stats and end up getting in the portal going somewhere smaller. So I want to see how that might eventually change.
And sometimes that might be, you go to Alabama, you know you're in a red shirt, but that's fine, I'll do the red shirt. But then you don't play as a red shirt freshman or red shirt sophomore. Now all of a sudden you're a red shirt junior looking for another school with no stats.
You get recruited over,
I think, Corey, you bring it up all the time, like, it's not always a player's decision to go in the portal. So, like, that, I think that's what makes, fixing it tricky, is that.
And then you got this eighth-year guy, like, that's just been just chilling and hanging out, and you're competing with him when you're 18, 19, right? You're getting recruited. Even with, like, some of the smaller, you used to be able to find, like, some of the three-stars, it isn't even worth going to even try to get them and develop them anymore. Like, some of the guys that are, like, because – 9 times out of 10, they're not going to be patient, sit around, not get paid, right? They're going to want to jump in the portal and find opportunities. The game is just changing. I think talent acquisition is getting very tricky. There was a time when you could find a Voshon Joseph that was a three-star, and you could just bring him in and just let him sit and chill, and then he turns out, or Ray McDonald, that turns out to be a stud right at the time, like his red shirt junior year. He's just hitting on all cylinders in the trenches, but those are going to be rare finds in the future, man.
Yeah,
those are the guys we used to like look at class, like, oh yeah, like that's a filler. That's filler in the class. You needed some filler, and all of a
that's
sudden,
what Ahmad was like. Yeah. Ahmad was a filler, and he turned out to be
Ahmad
all American,
was to make
right?
sure that the pouncies came. Ahmad was like, yeah, we'll take that kid.
Ahmad wasn't the make or break in that.
keep everyone happy, and then Ahmad turns into an all American.
You're 100% right. And I think that you're now going to find those filler guys and hope that in the transfer portal, those are your new filler guys, and hope that they get better, right? And that they have the opportunity to make an impact bigger and greater, and that you have a better eye for talent than other people. And there are some guys in this class, right? I'm not going to name names. It's not important, but you're like, we've got a bigger need than that. And that's kind of where you're at, right? You have to keep a core 5 or 10. You've got to recruit a good, probably 3 or 4 that you're just going to have to pay and hope that they turn out. And the rest is, we've just got to figure it out, right? Whether it's financially, playing time, or we're going to lose them. And that's just the nature of it, right? But you can't, you've got a unique strategy where you're going to always go and try to develop, or you're always going to try to go into the transfer portal and make your team a little bit better and fill some holes. And that's naturally going to create attrition moving the way down. So, you know, I think that the days of, you know, National Signing Day, those parties are over. Nobody cares anymore. I mean, we used to follow Junior Day. We used to follow, we used to go through, we used to play highlight reels. And now we'll still tell you when a kid commits, and we'll do that here in a second, but nobody's really that interested anymore. I'm curious to see how that affects the business model of like an On3 and a 247 and all of that over the next couple of years, as people no longer are going to follow recruiting the way that they probably used to. And does it turn into more of a transfer portal thing? Does it just move into just news-based? I don't know, but that's an industry that's going to be impacted drastically by these changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The portal is like not long though. Like I used to say, you know, in from our business model, like Rivals, On3, football season is only 3-4 months. Like recruiting is 12 months of the year. And now you're, if you start losing that, but the portal is only 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't drag the portal out. And if there's waning interest in the other 8 months, because I don't know that this kid is going to even play. I mean, Florida, we had guys, shoot, who was it? Fleazy.
All the, kids did Fleazy, Grock, too, now. Like,
Grock
get anywhere? What are they talking about here, Grock?
Grock, put this article in a bikini.
That article be in a G-string in the quickness, bro.
Wait, DeAndre Robinson going to Oregon.
DeAndre did go to Robinson. Yeah, he did go to
fourth school in third year. That's...
Hey, bro,
DeAndre will school in 24 months.
DeAndre play for anybody. I don't care what that money looking like.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Oregon's green.
It's not, not a green. Bad place to end up, right?
That boy wanted to go play for Bill Belichick and his girlfriend.
Like, what's funny, like if you do look at a recruiting article now and somebody commits, they're like, cool, let me know when he takes the field.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it ever was. You're like, oh, you found a diamond in the rough. How are we going to fight to keep all these other? It's like, all right, what if he's going to go to another school? We'll just try to get him in a year or two. Right.
I remember we were talking about like when, so Jameer Grimsley and DeAndre Robinson, both same class. DeAndre goes to Texas. No, sir. Jameer goes to Alabama and they both sign and they both get to campus. And then before even doing a single lift at those schools are now at Florida. And we're talking about, wow, man, wow, look at this. They flipped. Neither of them are at Florida now. So I think you're definitely going to – that's what I meant earlier. Like there's fan – there has to be fan fatigue over this.
Like people that are celebrating commits these days, like God bless you for sure. Because it's – first of all, it's January, right? That's already like a long stretch to signing day. You almost got to wait a year to signing day, right? 11 months of this kid playing shenanigans, visits and all type of, you know, nonsense. But you get him on campus and just like we got my man Dallas Wilson, like you could get him all the way in campus and they could just be like, nah, I'm cool. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's just hard to care about recruiting, man. Like I'll lock in after the portal closes to see what the roster look like and then we'll see what it looks like in the fall. But following recruiting day to day, bruh, I like to know who's who, like who can play, but I'm just not getting excited about where they commit or getting down where they commit at. I don't care what if a kid, how not boy, he commits somewhere else. Who cares? We'll get him when he's actually ready to play, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of people that fans were pumped about that when they announced that they were leaving Florida. They're like, who? And I say, I mean, you're the game now, right? Pace Fawcett's business is probably booming on the edit front. I'll tell you that much.
Though. I mean, some of them. He looks over. Some of them. He looks over.
Four or five edits for some of these kids. I mean, I can imagine. I love the kid. I love DeAndre Robinson. We've had a lot of great conversations with him. He's got some great poster board material that he can blow up and put behind him, and you know, get four, maybe a fifth.
He upgrade the chain every time though. Every time he drop a new pick, the chain's bigger.
Yeah,
the chain bigger, bro.
Start putting some diamonds in the golds, huh?
Yeah, bro. He's tricking it out. He called Jenny Dang, man. Put some more stones in that thing.
I remember there was the quarterback. It's his.
Wall still around? Is he still doing it?
Yeah, Paul Wall is definitely a figure out in Houston, man. Like major.
Speaking of Houston, yeah. There was TJ Finley, the quarterback, who. Yeah. His on three graphic has now become a meme because he had seven schools. Including playing for John Summer, sort of playing for John Summerall at Tulane. He transferred into Tulane, and then there was like a grand theft auto or like some sort of robbery charge, and was kicked off the team. And then transferred.
He's been in college like a decade too.
I think he's done. I think TJ Finley is done. But no, there was not. Seven schools.
He's at another school right now.
No, he's at another school right now.
Yeah.
Has he ever been to that?
He's a surgeon.
TJ Finley is going to University of Incarnate Word. That's where Cam LSU, Ward got
Auburn,
started.
Texas State, Western Kentucky. There was a short stint in Tulane, didn't play any games. Georgia State, Incarnate Word. That's insane.
Yeah.
They don't even be taking classes no more. Like Carson Beck said, he wasn't even taking classes. Like, what are we doing here?
I saw a snippet of what was allegedly a paper he wrote, and I'm like, I'm wondering how.
I don't know.
Were any degrees? Shout out to Sid from my stage.
Do want to announce from your rival, Nick, the Gators did get their first commitment under the John Summerall era for the class of 2027, Amari Nugent. From Plantation, Florida, American Heritage, 6 foot, 170 pounds, listed as the number 22 corner recruit in the country and the number 22 player in the floor or in the state of Florida for on three. He said the highlight of his trip was meeting John Summerall and speaking to him. He's a great coach and his resume speaks for him or for itself. He recently. We didn't even talk about the death of the All-American games, but he recently competed in the 2026 Navy All-American bowl game, which was in San Antonio, Texas. So he is the first commit for the 2027 class under John Summerall, 27 tackles, 2 interceptions last season, according to Max Preps.
Brandon Harris is mobbing down there, man. I see him in a lot of Instagram pictures flicking it up like he the mob, bro. So I expect him to be very good down there recruiting South Florida. That's what, you know, one of Ice Harris kids, you know, they got that family brand down there. Good get. I think the kids that you do get out of, excuse my dog, bro. She's growling like a pit bull over nonsense right now. Shut up. My bad, man. I think if you are getting high school kids, get kids that you think can contribute early, right? I think that's got, to me, in my mind, I think that's the model. Get kids you think, especially in the skill position, the kids that you think contribute early. If you don't think they can, they got to sit a year or two. They're not even worth going to get, in my opinion. Just get somebody that's productive at a lower level in college. But this is a very good get as far as that concern. I think he's a kid that could possibly touch the field early at corner.
Yeah, no, highly ranked. Obviously, play some elite competition down there in American Heritage. So, good get for the Gators here. So, and good get for Brandon Harris. He's offering. It seems to me like just as many players as Full Trot One. He's getting after it down there on the recruiting trail. So, looking forward to seeing that addition. The Gators also added Indiana transfer wide receiver Ace Singoli is what we're going to roll with. Ace Singoli. He has 4 years of eligibility, transfers from Indiana, did not play for the Hoosiers in 2025, comes over as a wide receiver. So I got 3-star out of high school, 3-star in the portal. 5'11", 190 pounds from Needham, Massachusetts.
Very cold up there, I'm imagining.
In Massachusetts or in Indiana or both?
Yes.
Okay.
Everywhere up north right now.
Not highly recruited, didn't seem like, but, you know, obviously went to Indiana last year. So that's what we got. Just
getting a champion on the roster, Dan.
Bringing some of that good juju over here. That's right.
What a world we live in. The only other 16-0 team in college football history was like 1889 Yale, who played things called like Browning Community Center.
Have you ever looked at like who Florida's played in like the 1910s? 1910s, 1920s, 1930s? That was great when they play like the Gainesville YMCA.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Who was just playing like the YMCA? Like local kids?
Like, it's just like community centers.
I'm saying, like, are these like community members of the like community at the YMCA? Like, who were they playing?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah, we'll tell you.
Maybe we'll do some dandy facts next week, and we'll run through some famous games the Gators have played.
Dan's going to be at the Gainesville Public Library looking at 1930s newspaper clipping.
What's crazy, I'm not sure if you've been introduced to it. There is something called the internet, which is allowed. Yeah, there's something called the internet, which is allowed doing research a little bit easier than going following the Dewey Decimal System to go try to find.
The library is crazy. Get the reference cards, man.
Yeah, sure. So here you go, Corey. Here's some. I found it quickly. It's the internet. It's wild. They played the American Legion. They played Athens Agricultural School based out of Alabama.
Bunch of farmers.
They've played Camp Blanding. They've played Camp Johnson. Wait.
Use a concentration camp. Blanding?
Playing military? Not a concentration camp. We're going to put that out publicly. That is not a they played Columbia College in Florida, which I don't believe exists anymore.
That's not
some prisons they call camps. I don't know if you know that, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. They played somebody called the Gainesville Guards, which might have been the National Guard.
These are prison people. This is like Longest Yard.
They were playing
prisons.
We've played Harvard twice and we're 0-2. That's sad to see.
You've never beaten Harvard.
Never beaten Harvard, and I don't think we're going to get an opportunity.
Did we fire him?
Hopefully.
Can't be losing to Harvard.
Hopefully.
we've played Montana State. Oglethorpe.
Anybody with a team, man.
Yeah, there's some just some what was it? Tampa AC and Tallahassee AC. We're 5-0 against the University of Tampa.
Tampa Athletic Club.
Yep. Okay. Here, you're going to like this one, Corey. We're 1-0 against Vedado Tennis Club based out of Cuba.
Oh,
that was definitely a concentration camp.
That's a pull.
That had to be a concentration camp. What year was this? Give me what year. No, what year was this?
Some of this stuff was in the war and then the depression. Some of it was in the 20s, 30s when a lot of college.
Was the coach last name Castro?
I don't think
Castro was until the
60s.
Yeah. I asked him what year. What year is this?
Yeah. I'm going to.
30s? Cuba was thriving back in the 30s.
Cuba ain't have no football team, no 1920 or nothing like that.
1912. We played on Christmas.
Well,
can you imagine Christmas? The score was either 28-0 or 27-0. Nobody's sure.
Dispute.
Just like, well, 100 point game. Man. Nobody really knows.
Somebody missed the extra point.
Florida played this game in a 2-game series. The second game was against the Cuban Athletic Club, but apparently we abandoned the game due to officiating disputes, leading to the arrest of UF coach George Pyle.
Oh, it got busy in the parking lot.
We are going to do some research.
Yeah, they went to fisticuffs for sure.
Christmas to December 28th.
We beat them so bad in the parking lot, they stopped playing football in the whole country of Cuba. They don't even play football no more. They were like, man, them Gator boys is tripping. That's
oh, my goodness. George Pyle was second head coach.
Let's not go back over there on Christmas anymore, man. They wilding out. Was this a home game or away game? Did we go to Cuba?
It was in Cuba. Yeah, that's I would imagine there would be some officiating disputes.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and add this in. George E. Pyle, Old enough that you only get this as a picture.
I like that. It looks like a fraternity
family father. Born in 1885. Look at him.
He went to Transylvania University.
Is the coach?
Yeah, this is the guy that got arrested. Find out where he got arrested, Nick.
Ooh, the fire. Oh, here we go. All right. All right. See how he looked. Ooh, the guy. Him out of here.
On December 38th, Florida played the Cuban Athletic Club of Havana under new rules. According to one source, the game's referee was a former coach of the Cuban team, and the officiating was blatantly biased. After two Florida touchdowns were nullified by questionable officiating, Pyle protested a 15-yard penalty when the referee offered a 5-yard penalty and said, can you imagine just haggling? And the referee offered a 5-yard penalty. Pyle and his team quit the game in protest. Another source says that after the game ended in the first quarter, after a fight broke out between the two teams, Florida accused the Cuban team of still playing under the old rules, regardless of the reason of forfeiture. Pyle was arrested by Cuban authorities. He was charged with violating a law that prohibited a game suspension after money had been collected. After his trial was delayed, Pyle and the Gators left Cuba.
Build that boy a statue, man. Yeah, he in Cuba throwing hands about points and rules.
I got to find out what the new rules versus the old rules. I got to find out.
I'm looking at that picture. He definitely grabbed a handful of Cuban cigars before he got back on the plane. 100%. I'm taking these with me, too.
Yeah. We never seen Cuba play football again after that game.
Not by the new rules, at least.
We got Bill Powell, a trophy. I never heard of this guy, man. Shout out to the history. Dandy facts.
Dandy facts. All right, guys. I think that's going to take us to the end of our show. What a fun.
Real quick. Yeah. I know pictures that come out. The team is working out. They've just got like names.
Oh, yeah.
First initial, last name on the shoulder. First initial, last name on the back. I saw in the name, image, likeness era, I had a couple people reach out to me being like, hey, what? This is corny. You can't do this kind of stuff. And my first response to them was, this is just Urban Meyer. Like straight up Urban Meyer's playbook. He probably talked to Herb. Herb said, I mean, we're going back to the freshmen having, you know, black tape stripes on their helmet. Just wanted to see, what do you think? Corny or do you like it? Because I kind of like it. You're going back to Urban. I get it. Hey, you got to earn it. Got to earn the chance to wear the logo. I just want to see where you guys fell on that issue.
Go, Dan. What do you think?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it all depends on how the team that you coach likes to be coached and managed and led. You play for the Gators. Your head coach, who's never coached a game at UF, is wearing the logo. And everybody else has to earn it, which, again, if that's how the team wants to get managed and coached, I think it's odd when you consider how many tens of millions of dollars this roster is and said, hey, we're willing to pay you this amount of money. You now have to earn the logo to wear. But, I mean, if that's something to create and incite, you know, competition and fire inside of them, then I don't care. But I'm just indifferent on it. But
yeah, it seems like he's in touch with traditionally some things that has happened at UF.
Yeah.
So I like it from that standpoint. I'm a little bit with Dan as far as like, I don't know if it translates to this era because they're paid merchants. So I don't know like if that thing that Urban them were doing translates to this era, you know, because it's just so business oriented. But I mean, anything, right? High school, college, even in business, you got to put some type of merit system up, you know, to create competition, et cetera, you know, and create, you know, I don't know the right word for it, but you got to create that urge to just earn things. In some
meritocracy.
Yeah. So I like it from that standpoint. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing negative about it. Mm-hmm. The quicker you get them in a Gator logo, I'm pretty sure UF will want them in a Gator logo as fast as they can for branding purposes, et cetera. But I'm with it, man. Like anything that could bring some type of, in today's football, is everybody's paid merchant. So anything that could center these guys around that whole team, you know, and becoming one thing, like, you know, you got to get that type of buy-in. So I'm with it. I ain't got nothing negative to say about it.
Yeah.
And I can see it being like widespread this first, like, off-season workout, spring. I used to love, like, I was, tell me who the first freshman is to get their stripe off. Like, I remember Ahmad's talked about it. Major's talked about it.
It was cool to watch at practice, right? Like, everybody's super excited. Are they just going to throw a Gator t-shirt to somebody that can wear the logo for the first? Have they really talked more about how this is going to unroll? Or is it once the whole team earns it, everybody can wear it? Or is it going to be an individual thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you make it an individual thing. Like, that would be – I think that would be dope. I'd feel like a badass if I walk into my locker the next day, because like the equipment staff loads your locker, you get your loop for the day. Right. All of a sudden, I got a blue shirt with a gator head on it. Whew, I'm the only one in my position room with that. Maybe you start creating a sense of competition that way. It's not like, hey, the whole team earned it, but then I don't know how you handle it.
Who do you think? Is the
even with player? even the way Billy did it, we got to know who was kind of eating in camp and workouts, mm-hmm. right? Like Jayden Woods, we found out how good Jayden was because some of these merit based things that mm-hmm. they were getting this for. I can't remember what it was that they were giving them. It was something to that degree, right? A logo or a stripe on their helmet, something in the workout room, etc., where they were getting some type of merit based awards. But you get to find out as a fan, like, who's next and who's striving in certain aspects of the workouts, even in spring camp, fall camp, when certain players are earning certain things.
Is that good when they would, like, announce, like, the champion of the week or whatever, when they would?
They had, like, the Swamp Kings where it was – they did it every week during camp, and it was, like, Swamp King was the best, like, workout of the week. And then – I was able to go in and do some stuff, and then we talked about it because I had like a picture of the board, and they were just putting stuff up. And I remember talking about it on the pod, being like, "Hey, I don't know who this kid Jayden Woods is, but him and George Gums work out in their own rack together. And when Jayden and George are like getting down to like heavy ones, heavy top or your top rep, like everyone just kind of like goes around, and it's crazy to see George, who's a redshirt senior and a 18-year-old kid from Kansas." Just like stopping the weight room with what they're lifting, but it'll be interesting to follow. It made me remember because I got a text from a friend who covers a different team. He's like, "What is this corny?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's 100%."
Everybody take everything corny. You can't do anything.
I go, that's 100%.
If your school's doing it, it's cool. If another school that you don't like is not doing it,
my mind immediately went, "Oh, Urban Meyer told him," and he goes, "If it worked with Urban, yeah, sure. Urban's teams were foaming at the mouth."
Yeah, and I mean, if it creates that level of competition that you need, again, it all comes down to management style, leadership style, for coaching style, and how the players want to be coached and managed. Maybe some people like it, think it's corny, or some people like it, some people don't like it, whatever it might be. You know, he's ultimately the head coach, and if it doesn't work, then you try something different, right? Like it's – that's what life is trying to figure out what can motivate, what can, you know, push somebody. And if this is the thing, like, I want to watch a good, competent football program in the spring and then in the fall. And if this helps encourage that, then like, I'm all for it.
But, all right. Well, let's talk before we get out of here. Let's talk Natty. Yeah. What you guys thought about, shout out to Pop, man, coming through, doing what he had to do, bro. Like, what a phenomenal guy.
I think I want to give you credit. I think you were the first one.
No, I was hating on Pop at first. I ain't gonna lie.
No, for the name. For the name.
For Pop.
At least in my world.
I think I was.
One of the most epic things, Google the day after, if you searched Googled Kurt Cignetti the day after the national championship, it just said like under his name, a little bar, like, yeah, he won.
Yeah, right. Yep, I won. Yeah.
I don't know what is a bigger in our lifetime. What is a bigger story? Indiana is 190 games, including this season, 190 games under 500 in their football lifespan, which dates back to the 1800s. Under nearly 200 games. I think they were losing to Cuba.
They might.
200 games under 500. And they are now the first team ever to win 16, go 16.
Yeah, they were plus 1,000 to win. And I said, it's one of the most incredible sports stories I've ever seen in my life. Then somebody's like, well, you weren't watching the English Premier League like 8 years ago when Leicester City was plus 50,000. And I wasn't. So fine. Leicester City fans and soccer fans, you can have that.
Wrong football, bro. That's what you said. Wrong football, bro.
This is one of the most incredible, and what's happened in 2 years, 3-9, playoffs, national champion.
Yeah, man. Pop changed the game, bro. Ain't no, there's no more patience. Old man came in, kicked the door down, did what he had to do. Just a very disciplined program, but they did make some mistakes in the national championship, mm-hmm. but they just found a way to win, you know, play as a team. I didn't think Mendoza is some lights out quarterback, but he plays within the system. He makes, I absolutely thought he played better quarterback at Cal, to be honest. Mm. I seen him play against Miami, Florida State, and make some throws. In this offense at Indiana, very reserved. You know, the running backs look like they 45. Like, yeah. I thought Trick Daddy was in the backfield. Like, these dudes look old, you know. But they went down to Miami. I was leaving Houston, and I promise you, when I walked into the Houston airport, I was like, what is this sea of red? Mm. And I guess it was layover flights because they was deep, you know, even on my flight, and I flew right into West Palm. It was a lot of Indiana people on that flight. And yeah. then when you saw that the game, it was a home field for Indiana for sure. They travel like some big dogs. But shout out to that, bro. Like, everybody's in it. You know, yeah. it's a lot of parity in college football. They spent the block. Mark Cuban is dropping and double down and on some bread now. But college football, like, I think I had a take a few weeks ago about the Big Ten being the new big dogs. I think we're starting to see it a little bit, man.
Yeah.
Ohio State last year, Indiana this year. Michigan isn't that long ago.
Yeah, and they're going to be in the mix.
Yeah, they've won three in a row. They made some fantastic coaching hires this offseason.
Sure.
You can argue that on paper, at least, and we'll see how it all works out, the Big Ten made better hires than the SEC did this year. I don't know who the prohibitive favorite is to win next year, and I kind of like it that way. I like it not being just the same, you know, recycled teams over and over again. I can only imagine what it would be like to be an Indiana fan, especially one that like rooted on the football team and supported the football team. Just maybe you lived in Bloomington or you lived in Indianapolis, maybe you played there, to watch that team get like a few thousand fans in a normal game to then mm-hmm. winning the national championship in a few years is incredible. I mean, I think it's a really cool feel good story.
And the boys, Cat, they hung up all their Notre Dame stuff and put on red.
That's right.
Yeah, Brody Miller, who I met him when he was covering LSU. Now he is the PGA writer for The Athletic. Went to Indiana. I read his story that he wrote about it. He was like, we liked football, but we just knew that like success wasn't for us. We would still go. We would still watch, but we had no expectation. We knew that we were.
There was probably more fans at their bike race called the Little 500 than there were at most of their football games, right? And it took a mix of some NIL, a great coach that has proved everybody wrong. I mean, he's bet on himself his entire career, and a bunch of players that made it happen. Mendoza, I don't think he had a great game. I thought
he made some great plays.
He showed a lot of heart when he needed to.
Yeah.
I liked the way that they called the game, officiating wise, that they called it consistently.
They let them play.
Yep, they let them play. They let the other teams won. And at the end of the day, I love watching Miami lose because I was with a Miami friend for the
first time. Oh, I needed that, L. My God, bro. I was like, man, I cannot have these people this happy, bro.
I mean, and it ended in the most picturesque Carson Beck way, though, possible, right? Ball, opportunity to score, and just threw a duck.
Like, yeah, you just did that, son. Yeah, you just ruined everybody's dreams in Dade County. But what if the Big Ten come back and win another like 2 years? Is that parity though? If the Big Ten go on a run like the SEC did in the BCS era, right? And they start winning 6, 7, 8 in a row, because I think they got a lot of old money. They got a lot of tradition. They got a lot of favor in their corner in this mm-hmm. new era. So if the Big Ten go on a 5, 6, 7 year run of them winning national championships, is there parity, or did just the playoff just get bigger?
I guess it depends on how you view parity. Is it conference related? Is it team related?
It's the ability to win it all.
Yeah.
One conference to the next conference, I don't know if that's actual parity. I think it's parity in recruiting, but I don't know if it's parity in like national championships yet.
Well, I think I think Bud Elliott was right. He said like the top. Well, he said like,
you heard Bud Elliott say.
Yeah. That
he said like, no the Florida top defense 30
teams in the country are probably closer than they ever have been. So I think in that realm, there's more parity. He was saying in it that the top 30 teams are closer than ever, and you're allowing two G5 schools into the playoff. And we watch what happened to both G5 schools.
They got smoked.
Well, and I think that that's going to continue to happen because I think a lot of your G5 coaches are going to go and move up in jobs every year, right? Especially because we're churning coaches every 3 or 4 years at the power school level. If you change the calendar a little bit, and good those God, coaches please. aren't coaching, knowing that they're trying to recruit for another school, or fans are saying, hey, why are they coaching their team in the playoffs instead of working on the transfer portal that we have now? I think that you could have maybe a little bit more competition. Now, I don't think that Tulane beats Ole Miss, and I don't think James Madison beats Oregon, you know, but I could see in the future a pretty good G5 school with a coach that's not leaving, and, you know, a team of, you know, maybe a bunch of 4-star and 5-star guys catching a team by surprise. But I don't think it's ever going to be like college basketball where you have a deep run by a non, you know, high major school.
Yeah, that's why I don't like I like how wide that's why I'm glad they did at least get the opportunity. And the image or the illusion of parity when you can get 12 teams in, you know, that's an illusion of like anybody could go make a run. But in reality, I think you're going to start seeing the same teams kind of in the playoffs here a little bit. It may change one or two here and there, but I think whoever got an early head start in this era definitely is at an advantage right now. Like Indiana, they're going to take full-fledged, you know, advantage of this start that they got. And as you can see it with what they're starting to spin and what they're trying to do. But Big Ten is at an advantage in this era for sure. And also that money, like, the way they're recruiting the South. Like, if you start looking at the stats of the way the Big Ten is recruiting the South, they're recruiting it stronger than they ever recruited the South. Mm-hmm. They're getting a lot of players where, you know, it's a region thing. Like, football-wise, we care more down here. The SEC is better because they're in football country. Now those players, NIL, they're just more, you know, willing to go play in freezing weather in the Midwest just because, you know, like, money. And that's what the parity's at in recruiting. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the parity's actually in win. I think Big Ten is about to be the big dogs.
Yeah, and I think until somebody else beats them, they are the big dogs, right? I think they are the best conference in college football right now. It doesn't mean that they will be forever and everybody's going to have a run, but thank you, Indiana. I'm just very, very
yes, Pop, you my boy. Shout out to Pop, bro. I appreciate
who,
you, man.
Who's yours?
I could not. The sound of six rings was just already, like, just annoying me, man, so I appreciate Indiana. Yeah,
especially down there in South Florida for you. I mean, at least we're tempered a little bit here, but down there, you'd just be seeing this everywhere you went.
Yeah, I still don't think they're going anywhere, Brad. As you can see, too, like, they're going to be around. Like, you know, they play in a very weak conference, and they go and get Big Ten SEC level talent in that very ass-cheek conference they're in, man, ACC. So –
oh my God. All right.
Hopefully, like, do take it to the finish line. They don't get a quarterback, then we can get some setback. So,
yeah.
Got to set them back big time.
I mean, at some point, he's got to enroll in school, too, right? Or are we just throwing that away?
School is a figment of your imagination, my boy. This is this. Carson Beck didn't even have a class.
Well, we had a good run. We had a good run.
Should have worked on arm strength.
All right.
That boy threw up a duck. You can't throw that. You flinging that duck down the field, man. Cover two like that, bro. That ball never stood a chance. You got like a strong arm. It's a good call. It's a good play call by the Dawson.
Oh, I don't know why people complain. If he threw the ball well, that's a touchdown.
That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
For sure. Good, great call. Just terrible arm strength.
Darn.
I love to see it.
See it.
I love to see it.
Likewise.
I know Shaka James 5254. We're not going to read any of his comments, but he is a subscriber because that's the only way he can comment. And just know that we are very happy you lost. Black Raider Steel's not here today. Let him go. We're happy you lost. Finished the same place UF did without a national championship.
I appreciate it. I was nervous.
Thanks for being here, Shaka.
Yeah.
He's still showing up, bro. Like, I appreciate you being a fan of the show, man. Yeah,
hit the like button. You already hit the subscribe.
He was crying. He was crying this time last week, though.
No, for sure. 100%. I love to see it, man.
Love would you shed a tear if we lost the national championship like that? Just one thug tear, like one, at least one.
I haven't seen us lose a national championship in anything since I was 12.
Last time we lost it, I cried.
In 1995, I know that I shed a tear. I was seven, yeah. Or
they beat the Pope. Yeah. They beat us to the Pope. I was like, my God, stop it.
And they could have scored again. Didn't they kneel the ball on like the 1 yard line to end the game?
Bro, we're such a better team than them too, man. That's crazy. Anywho.
All right, let's close it out. Two quick ad reads. Corey, you can get Song of the Week, so think about that. One time for our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com or use promo code Stadium and Gale. The guys that founded Home Field are big Indiana guys, so they have a huge Florida collection for you, Mr. Chaka James. They also have a Miami selection for you. So go use that promo code Stadium and Gale. That helps us as well. So go visit homefieldapparel.com. Soft cotton, vintage logos, best in the business. They have a new bomber jacket coming out that looks pretty cool. That'll be released here pretty soon. So go check that out, homefieldapparel.com. And if they don't have what you're looking for, go visit Alumni Hall or in Gainesville. Go visit them on alumnihall.com. Largest selection of Florida Gator apparel anywhere on the world wide webs and in Gainesville. So again, go visit Alumni Hall or go visit them at alumnihall.com. Let them know your friends over at Stadium and Gale sent you. We appreciate the more than 3,000 people that have joined. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you haven't already, hit the retweet button. It helps us introduce ourselves to more Gator fans. And with that, Corey, what's Song of the Week, my friend?
Song of the Week. Let me get Sorry. Conway the Machine, Undying.
Undying. Looking forward to listening to that for the first time after this show's over. We appreciate everybody for watching. Same corner, same time next week. Jordan will be back next week. We'll see you guys.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.